Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Tough kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. As always, I'm your layman fan that has no official title, Aaron Lingley, and I am here, as always, with your Alliance Council President, your Guerrilla FC President, and your Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins. Slam dunk, boom shakalak, I got through it without a hiccup.
You did it. What's up, Aaron? How you doing, bro?
I'm a whirlwind of emotions. Work's been pretty crazy just from a personal standpoint. I am part of a team. I'm senior of a team of two sales managers, and he left while I was on PTO with my in-laws visiting and staying in my house, which is why I couldn't go to the Portland match, barf, and which, yeah, probably a good thing, actually. We drove up to Bellingham, Chuck and I drive. Fucking beautiful. Love that.
Did they not know there was Portland versus Seattle going on?
It's questions I asked my wife. No, they don't. They don't give a shit. The tickets from they live in like upstate New York. Actually, if Elmira, New York. It's not really upstate. It's just in kind of Podunk, New York, just north of Philadelphia. And so flying here is not the cheapest thing because they have to get from there to a major airport, yada, yada, yada. After Memorial Day, tickets are pretty cheap. So they, like, last minute, 2.5 weeks ago, said, can we come now? And you don't say no to grandparents who get to see their grandchild. So I should say grandparent. He is married to not my wife's mom, and I will stop talking about her family. Not that she listens or any of her friends. But anyway, you don't say no to people that need to see the kid. So... Right. Said yeah, and I said, damn it.
Here's a joke for you. Two men were in a pub. One says to his mate, my mother-in-law is an angel. His friend replies, you're lucky. Mine's still alive.
Again, the actual real in-laws are great, but that's all I'll say about the one that married in. So been a little bit crazy getting back to work on Monday, and then ending the week... Which I'm glad we're recording tonight and not yesterday, because we have some scuttlebutt to talk about.
There's way more news today than yesterday.
Yeah, hint, Messi will be spoken about, and also some changes to CONCACAF Champions League, aka CONCACAF Champions Cup. So we'll talk about that and some scuttlebutt mailbag stuff. But I just finished watching the third of a three-part reunion of Vanderpump Rules with my wife, and that's like. I thought the show was done.
How is there still more episodes?
No, there's three reunions. So it was a three-part reunion because of Scandoval. I know.
Those words mean nothing to me.
There's probably one or two listeners out there, and they probably also like listening to us talk about F1. But yeah, I'm not going to get into it. But the craziest season of all time, basically.
Can you believe George Russell's run? I mean, the fact that he was able to get up to third
from 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, their
car was real mad. It got ruined for me on the radio coming home from Salem after the Superhawks game, game two of the playoffs down there, which we lost after winning game one up here. And then we subsequently won game three. And are on a,
I know Raze Jose was watching.
Yeah, I'm on an airplane tomorrow morning flying to L.A. for the game down there on Friday night.
Awesome.
So,
in L.A., huh?
Yeah, against the South Bay Express or South Bay Flash, LA Flash, one of those. They keep moving around, so I have no idea. But we were listening to the NBA Finals driving up, and then a news thing on ESPN Radio came on and told me the score or the top three. So,
welcome to my world, man. It's hard living in the bubble when you want to watch everything, quote unquote, live.
And let's talk about this on the radio here real quick. We're not on the radio, on the podcast. I'm so used to being on the radio, right? I do Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. on KXSU LP Seattle 102.1 FM and around the world at KXSU.org.
You owe me $10.
Yeah, I just advertised my show.
Yep. Pay for the hosting on this podcast, please.
We've had this discussion before. Understandably, you don't watch a lot of sports live because you are a parent who is busy.
Yeah. I mean, I love watching sports live. I love going to a dive bar. If I can't be live at the event, I love like watching by myself at a dive bar with a well whiskey or tequila. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, because it's cheap. And after I'm done with it, the taste doesn't matter. And a nice IPA. That's what I love.
A lot of well whiskey is Evan Williams, which is superior to a lot of the higher level whiskeys, so I'm for it. But here's the thing is,
but yes, I can't watch live a lot.
You can't watch live, and so you record it and watch it later. But this includes the Seattle Mariners, who are tough. So bad right now
that don't tell me about today, by the way.
I'm not talking about today.
I'm just a warning.
In Texas, don't waste your time on the Mariners anymore. If they go on a playoff run, it's just not worth it. Look at the score and then go back and if it's not a 20-0 blowout like we had in Texas the whole time, then I mean think about all that stuff you could do with all those extra 3 hours of your life every single day. You could spend more time with your daughter. You could be editing podcasts. You could be editing a docuseries. You could be doing all sorts of different stuff. Instead, you get to watch Kelenic go 1-for-11. Or 1-for-17 with 11 strikeouts.
So here's the thing. I start watching at about 10 p.m. when I finally have free time. We're recording at 10:38, mind you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that time before this was spent with my wife. We only get about an hour
after
the kid goes down. Okay. And our kid, bless her heart, loves to quote unquote read. She just says what she remembers when we read the story out loud. Doesn't ask for us really at all.
Doesn't she sing too sometimes?
Oh, she absolutely sings because she's all into Frozen. I know the Moana You're Welcome song by heart, even the rap. So for me, I don't have me time until much later into the evening.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Really, so you can't really focus on shit when your kid's just singing and whatever in the bedroom. I mean, at least you can relax, but you can't mentally check out, right? So what I do at about 10 o'clock is I turn the game on, but it's peripheral. It's like putting on Friends during the pandemic. It's just on the background. I need something familiar and comfy.
That's how
I watch it's on every night, and I'm not invested, but if something happens, I refocus. Julio hits 436, home run. I'm going to jump back 10 seconds, rewatch. I want to be caught up. I want to be abreast. I want to listen to sports radio and know what the hell's going on in the morning. My commute is like an hour and a half.
Which sports radio are you listening to right now? Because
I only listen to the Brock and Salk show.
Oh, gosh, I can't do it. Salk used to be the best guy on the radio, and ever since he went away to Boston and came back, he is just the worst. Oh, his worst opinions. He's just a douche.
Yeah.
I don't listen to any morning shows anymore.
Well, I don't know. They tend. He doesn't bother me, and Brock doesn't bother me either.
No, I like Brock most of the time. Although he has gotten more hardened in his ways, but that's true everywhere. And Softy's showing off his conservative side now on KGR on his show. So.
Yeah, well, then I wouldn't listen to that. But and mind you, it's about 45 minutes a day, and I skip through a bunch. I usually just cover what they when they talk about the Mariners or the Seahawks, because that's all they talk about that I give a shit about.
The 710 doesn't talk about the Sounders, and that's why they're no longer the flagship station.
Oh, and they're not 710 anymore.
Well, I mean,
Seattle Sports Radio.
Oh, but it's still 710 a.m.
Oh, is it really? I don't know, because I listen to a podcast. Anyway, digressing. I don't choose to watch the Mariners over everything else I could be doing in my life. It's at the end of the freaking night.
Yeah.
And sports in general. Freaking Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. I'm watching that at 10 p.m. falling fucking asleep, especially in the Western Conference Finals. But even in the semi, I'm keeping up with the finals.
Yeah.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm out of it.
Chicken nugget, no, Jokic. I just. Bleh.
Hey.
And the fact that Denver might win a championship is just the grossest thing ever. They should.
I'm rooting for Miami.
For that Mutombo lying on the court in Seattle with the ball after they knocked off the Sonics when we were the number one seed. The 1 year Michael Jordan wasn't in the league, the 1 year the Sonics could have won the championship, and they get knocked out in the first round. The first team ever they get knocked out in the first round.
Leave it to you to somehow circle it back to Sonics and why. And that's the root cause of why you hate whatever we're talking about.
And also why I know you.
Yes. Should we get to our scuttlebutt?
Let's talk about scuttlebutt. Jude Bellingham signed this amazing deal in Real Madrid. Oh, wait, no. That was completely upstaged. That should have been the biggest news in the soccer world today, because he had this amazing contract.
Who the fuck are you talking about?
Jude Bellingham, one of the top players in the world, who from Borussia Dortmund. I can't even say
his name. His name is Jude Bellingham?
Yeah, he's one of the top players on the England national team.
How did I not know? Okay.
I
don't watch EPL.
Well, he was in Germany. He's on the England national team. But anyway,
Borussia Dortmund is what you were saying he's on. Okay. Yeah, so we signed with.
They paid £107 million for him. So
Borussia Dortmund did.
Yeah, it's one of the most expensive transfers in the history of both Real Madrid and Dortmund. No, Dortmund sold him for
Real Madrid.
Yeah, so okay, that cool. Should have been the biggest sign. I mean, this is one of the top young players in the world. You know, record club signing, but something else happened.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to do something I haven't done on this show before. But since I have nothing important going on professionally that would be related to this podcast, Mr. President, I am going to smoke a little bit of weed. Whoa. Because this news is some big-ass news. And I just want to smoke a little bit because I never have. No, I have in my life, but not on the show. So I want to go over Messi, Lionel Messi, and that's in Liquid Death, I see. Joining your Seattle Sounders former head of scouting.
Head scout,
new team,
former
Inter Miami.
Right back.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Messi is joining your Seattle Sounders. Former head scouts, new team, Inter Miami, and it's like all but official, right? And yeah, here comes my sound effect.
They still have to.
Smoking a joint, by the way. Classy, classy, old school. Yep.
But Yeah, I mean, he and the contract isn't done. They need to finish that, but it's all but done. So he announced that Miami is where he's going to go.
And actually, can I read his, or at least a quote that he has?
Yeah, please
Okay.
do.
I made the decision and I'm going to Miami. It is not finalized 100%. There are a few things left, but we decided to continue down this path. If Barcelona didn't work out, I wanted to leave Europe, get out of the spotlight, and think more about myself. By the way, Messi, FYI, you will always be in the fucking spotlight. You are Lionel Messi. You moving to out of the spotlight is creating another spotlight.
Right. If
So,
he wanted to be out of the spotlight, he would have signed for like Columbus or something. He wouldn't have signed for Miami, which is one of the three cities in the United States that you're in the spotlight,
yeah, sure.
along with New York
So,
and LA.
and I also find it is interesting that like the contract's not finalized yet, because it's not just I'm signing to play for your team. Here's my wage. Here's my salary.
No, yeah.
He, M Apple is involved in supplementing his, and I don't know the details of this. It's just what I've read. You might actually know more, just because, you know,
He's getting a share
you read a lot
of
more than I
the
do.
new subscribers.
Okay, there's
So,
that. There's
yep.
that, and there's also Adidas.
Yep.
Okay, and also, you know what
Getting a
was
share of
announced
jersey
on
sales.
Monday?
What's that?
Apple TV has been greenlight to do a Lionel Messi's docuseries. So he wasn't gonna go to Saudi Arabia for $500 million, because he's probably getting $1 billion fucking dollars from Apple and Adidas
Wasn't
and
it a
MLS
billion?
combined.
Wasn't it actually a
Oh,
billion?
I saw something that was like 552 million, but
Wow.
I also didn't know who Jude Bellingham was. I mean, Jude Chuckanut?
Yeah,
Jude
Jude.
Puyallup?
Yeah. Jude
Jude
Tukwila.
Bellevue. Sorry. Jude Law. Dreamy. But anyway, so yeah, I don't know exactly what that was. That's one thing I saw, but you probably know that it
No, I
was
mean
him. But he's going to make
I
plenty of money
someone
not
could have been
living in Saudi
exaggerating.
Arabia.
Right, like it's I the question that I have for you about this is this good for the league? And also I want to we forgot let's mention every team had to pay as well to bring him here.
Yeah, because it's a, what do you call the league? It's a
A single
brain
entity,
fart.
but
Single,
no,
yeah, single entity.
but
Is
every
that part?
team put money in.
Well, I mean, okay, so I see where that's leading, and that basically me answering, or that would answer your question. But also, Raze Jose on our Discord link is in the show notes. How does Messi to Miami deal change MLS, and where do we move to better things from? And where do we move to better things from this deal? I think we know what he's saying. So
Well, but that's my,
that,
do you
and
think it's
that's what
better?
you're asking. That's what you're asking me. So I
I
want to
think the
shout out
fact
one
that
of
he's
our
yeah.
listeners for asking the same question. Okay. So
I will say this though. I real quick. I don't like the fact that the Sounders had to pay for Messi to play for Inter Miami.
okay, that's two things.
But
That's
I'm
two
not
things.
that's one thing. But I'm not gonna mention I mean that doesn't determine what I think about the MLS and whether this is good for the MLS.
And that's why I'm saying it's two things.
Yeah.
That's two conversations. I can like that he's coming to MLS, and then on a separate conversation, I do not like that clubs in general, but my club, had to pay for it.
Yeah.
Was it had to? Was it a was the so if we talk about the clubs paying, was it a all clubs had to unanimously agree that they were going to put money in, or they were contractually as part of the single entity have to,
I don't think it had
because the
anything to do with
league
the single
decided that
entity.
this.
I think every club had to. They were forced to by the league, I'd guess. There's been no news on
Okay,
that,
so if
but
that's true, that fucking sucks. And if it's
every
money out
club
of our
did.
coffers, that then I don't like that.
No.
Clubs should have to pay, whether it's through the league or not. That should be 100% their cost, right? Because if
Right.
if
It
we find
shouldn't.
out that this affects, you know, it might not. I know we're not the biggest financial club, right? We've talked about that before. We're not New York City
We're
FC.
not
We're
New
not
York. We're
LA
not
Galaxy or
Miami. Yeah.
LAFC. Yeah, Atlanta.
Yeah. We'll never be able to
But
outspend.
we aren't one of the
No,
tadpoles of this league
we're have.
financially either,
We're
right?
have.
We
Not a have
have,
not.
yeah, we have money.
Yeah.
But this could affect how, And if we come to find out that the financials show that there might have been a signing, say, name small team, Cincinnati, could have gotten a player they could have paid for, or type of player or a level of player they could have paid for, but because of this deal they can't because their budget is so much smaller than ours and other clubs. So it affects the league unevenly. But it,
well, here's
but
the
entire league as a whole does benefit from a profit standpoint. Every game that Messi comes to is going to be fucking sold out.
Right. And so the East Coast, who will play them more regularly, they should have to pay more. And we know no details in this because they're going to play him more often. So all maybe, those teams that play him will make way more money than they had to pay ultimately, I think. Because and ticket sales often, not for every team, but on some teams, correlate directly to transfer budgets.
Okay. So there's a rational explanation for it, then I'm not mad. So not all, we don't have all the information, so I don't think I can actually form an opinion of how angry I am
about this,
or happy.
Let's go back to the other question, which is, do you think Messi is good for a league? And I want to lay out a couple of things for you to think about before you answer it. One.
Lay out in front of me, Cameron.
For 25 years or so, maybe 20 years, the MLS has been trying to say, we are not a retirement league. David Beckham was an anomaly. This is MLS, you know, since the Sounders have been in, this is MLS 2.0. And now we're in 3.0, mm-hmm. technically. Like, you're no longer finding players that can just retire here and like, think they're going to have a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Like, this league is more than that. And yet, they bring in Messi. On the other hand, you have the largest, biggest, most exciting player in the world deciding to come to the MLS, which is only going to raise more money for the teams he plays against in his team, more subscription money for Apple, more jersey sales, and mind you, the money for jersey sales or any merch you buy only goes to your club if you buy it through.
Yeah, that's an important thing to say.
The club store, not online.
If you go to MLSsoccerSoccer.com, you're giving it to MLSsoccerSoccer.com.
Yeah, so MLS is going to get a ton of money, but, you know, maybe that's good too in some ways because they can invest in academies or something. I don't know. But so where do you fall in this line of, is it good or bad for the league?
I definitely don't think it's bad. I mean, I believe you were giving your pros and cons, and you're laying it out in front of me.
Yeah.
As of maybe where you lie on this, I don't think the hypocrisy is a big deal. It is just things they said, but then you got to take that with a grain of salt because when something like this is at your doorstep, you're gonna make it happen. This is arguably the greatest player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Who scored 16 goals and had 16 assists this season in 32 matches at 35 years old. He's LeBron James, not in physical stature, but harder opponents than
the MLS.
Not
all the teams. Well, I bet we could beat some of the lower teams in the French first division, but
I also want to say 32 matches. He's 35 years old. Yeah, that's a season.
Yeah.
That's a fucking
season. And he played in the World Cup, and he played in
He won the World Cup. Yeah. this dude's not using a walker into this league. Neither was David Beckham, and look what he did to this league, right? Pirlo is an argument Robbie in the Keane. Other. Robbie Keane, older.
Robbie Keane was great for the league, though.
Yeah, but and then Pirlo came in and was a dud, right? And there are, and same team, David, brain fart, Barcelona.
Yeah. Silva.
Right?
Silva. No, not Silva. David Silva was good.
God. Brain fart. Yeah.
We know what you're talking about.
Stop yelling at your speakers, everyone. We know. We should know this. Brain fart.
It's 10:53 at night. Come on.
Yeah. So that thing that is immaterial, that's kind of, there's some hypocrisy to it.
I mean, Frank Lampard was not great when he came.
Yeah. So,
and I love Frank Lampard.
And a few of these names you said have been in 3.0 or at least 2.0 MLS that you were just talking about. But either way, it doesn't hurt the league. And it does, I mean, from everything we've already talked about, it does help the league. From attendance to just to revenue in all aspects of how this league makes money and how these teams make money. So I'm sure what the teams will get back is far greater than what the cost was. And I do hope it was, there was some rationality behind what the clubs had to put in to get Messi here. I am fucking going to be at the first game he plays the Sounders.
Which isn't like, this year, unless it's the MLS Cup.
Ooh.
We don't play them. Yeah,
that's,
we could play them.
That's kind of cool. Actually, the only opportunity we might see Messi play, because he could retire, you never know, is because he'll bring up whatever in Miami to the MLS Cup. He's gonna score two goals a game. He's gonna whoop on some of these East Coast.
It'd be like if we got Drogba in his prime when he first was gonna come over, and Seattle was a rumored place for him.
Shit,
to come
even to. When he was with Montreal, if we had him for those years, he was. I mean, he was Blaze on steroids.
Yeah, true.
True. He was good for a couple years.
I agree with you. I am bothered about the fact that the league spent so much time moving away from being a retirement league, and then they're putting it all in on this.
But I think the entire world can forgive you for signing this player.
Because it's Messi, right? I don't think they would do it for any of the other players. Messi. You know, I was talking to a friend.
Gareth Bale, though, is like a, come on, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean.
And he was still good, but he's same age?
Well, he's going to be playing for Wrexham soon, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to come out of retirement. But you know, I was talking to a friend today, and she was like, Messi's just going to get run over in this league, because this isn't a finesse league like the ones he's used to playing in. And a lot of players have found that hard to deal with, was the fact that you get beat up and knocked down, and they're not going to give you
that. That
will
be interesting.
So he's going to need some adapting. But I think, you know, I think my thought is he is skilled enough to handle that. And the big problem is going to be if there's other people that can service the ball to him, or other people who can hit the shots when he services the ball to them.
I'm
excited. I agree. Here's one of the reasons, though, is it's Inter Miami. We have the connection with Chris Henderson. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got,
do you think they'll trade him now? just make the headlines and then immediately trade him to Seattle.
No, they would
for...
send him to Garth in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's true.
And Atlanta's about to make a big signing. I think they're signing a PSG defender. So I'm in major FOMO right now with the Sounders, but that's a different story that we'll get to later. But I think overall it's good. I've seen Messi play in person twice at CenturyLink Field. I don't know if it was CenturyLink both times. He played...
I think it was still when that first time was still CenturyLink. It was only Seahawks State. Or you're thinking Quest.
It was Century. Yeah, it was whether it was Quest or CenturyLink. 2009. I don't know when it flipped, but you know, I saw him play for Barcelona against the Sounders. You know, I saw him play for Argentina there. So I've seen him a couple times. I'd love to see him again. And if he had signed for New York or LA or, you know, Portland, they're not doing that. No one's like, let's go live in Portland.
Messi walking down Morrison. Hey, that's probably,
this
that's probably
where
name of a book.
Smith did heroin right here.
Okay. We should move on to new scuttlebutt, but yeah.
Okay. But I think
overall thumbs up. I'm going thumbs up.
I have some qualms about it, but overall thumbs up. I don't hate Inter Miami. You know, if they're successful, cool. Mm-hmm. Plus having him in the future as an owner of a team will be awesome, because maybe he'll buy the Sounders and then give us a bunch of good players.
That's a stretch, but well, all right, so let's wrap up the Messi Soccer League conversation. Oh, actually, before we wrap that up, Nicholas on Discord, do you anticipate a similar growth in the league with Messi that resulted after the league signed Beckham? Do you think, real quick, there would be?
So, this is something that I wanted to talk about. That's the big question, because there are established stars now. There are established teams. The question will be, will people that come to watch Messi come back to watch their local team? It'll build Inter Miami into one of the biggest teams in the world in terms of merch sales and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. No question about that. They'll become the most viable team in the NMLS. Absolutely. Like, they're going to skyrocket ahead of all the other teams. But I don't know if a casual person comes to a game in the general MLS in Houston, let's say, watches Messi and then goes, yeah, I think I'll come back and watch Houston play. Might work in a place like Seattle or Atlanta, where it's places where compelling Portland, where compelling products are being put on the field. But in mediocre teams, I don't think it will do that. I think they'll come watch Messi and then leave. Same question around like
the league. So you're saying that'll happen in Miami?
No, Miami will grow. People show up in Miami and watch them continually and become fans.
So you're saying
I'm talking about all the other
teams. When Messi touches the teams that are smaller market.
Right. Right. When he's playing.
You don't think that'll stimulate their growth?
No.
Like Johnny Appleseed or anything.
I hope it does, but I just don't think, you know, Joe coming to watch Messi is going to stick around and come back to another game where he's not playing.
I got you. So to Nick's point, did Beckham do that?
Yes. I think to a degree. Because the league was so new, people
Beckham
were like,
was
oh,
more
we didn't
of a
even
Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah. Like now soccer, everyone knows the teams exist. It's not
and
like
Messi's more Barnum and Bailey.
The
small ass town you showed up in is still a small ass town when you left.
Right.
Then the circus left.
Yeah. And I hope that's wrong.
Okay.
But I mean, we'll see the same thing with the League's Cup is when we're bringing in these teams from Mexico, is it in the average casual fan comes because they want to see this? Will that get them to come?
That's
back
interesting. I didn't think about it like that, and that'll be, I guess, the good tell. Is
yeah,
the attendance
maybe it will. Maybe I mean it definitely will after. For some cities, right? Yeah. Like if someone hasn't been going to Atlanta games and they show up to watch Messi, and then realize how much fun it is to go to Atlanta games because it's such a cool atmosphere, they're gonna come back.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so you better get your marketing and PR work going, small market teams, before he shows up, just to like
get your Sounders season tickets now, just in case Messi comes next year.
Email everybody that they should have Sounders season tickets. Do you know where I got that Johnny Appleseed and Barnum and Bailey analogy, which I think was very fitting? It was from this type of marijuana that I purchased called Gary Payton.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I thought you would appreciate that.
We have Gary Payton at the spot down the block from me. I saw on Leafly. Yeah. I haven't bought it yet, though.
Well, thumbs up as well on that scuttlebutt. Yeah, it's working out. Analogies are going well. Let's move on to the next one. That is Champions League.
Mm.
Well, I should say Champions Cup. It is now, as of Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think at least the news dropped on Tuesday, right? That this is no longer the CONCACAF Champions League. This is the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Yep. And
the prize pool went up to $5 million from $1 million.
So this means that the Seattle Sounders are the only MLS team ever to win CONCACAF Champions League.
Yep.
Cemented. You know, what's interesting is it used to be called the Champions Cup before.
Yep.
So now...
So LA Galaxy are technically the only MLS team to win the Champions Cup.
DC United won it twice.
Oh, was that in the 90s?
Yeah, so they have it too.
The 90s doesn't count though, right? Because
you know, here's my question. Here's my question about it. Okay,
penalties were weird in the 90s.
Looks cool. I'm gonna miss the group stage games, but they've been going away from those for a while. I just like. You know, being able to see those teams at home.
That was always a cool, I guess you still have the opportunity to travel, but.
Yeah.
It'll
be home and away, I'm sure, for the games. But
I guess that was a stupid comment.
Like it's the Libertadores Cup, right, in South America.
Yeah, it's
and
always
so
fun
it's more
to,
in line with
to
that,
say that
but
on
I,
a recorded microphone. Libertadores.
I don't speak Spanish. That's the closest I can get. I could say it in French.
I think I said mine. I think mine was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I picked it up. I'm thinking
more. Here's the thing is I like it being called Champions League because
I do too.
UEFA Champions League is like the biggest champ. Like that's biggest. That's any. It's bigger than any league. More people watch that than any single league on a per capita basis, obviously not on a total basis. But that part bums me out. But new format, more money. I don't hate it. The problem with it has always been though that it is a preseason for us, so it makes it really difficult. But then it took so long, so I haven't looked at the calendar. I hope they're not just playing those back to back. That it's still going to be as long of a tournament. Because it used to start in the previous year and then start again at the beginning of our season. And so I don't know the changes they're going to make. I didn't look that deep into it. I just briefly looked it over. So I don't love it if it's going to hurt the MLS in that way. But
considering the MLS is like 25% of all teams, like from that represented, like the teams, and there's five of them, five MLS teams. That's what I'm trying to say. Six Liga MX, too small to read. Canadian Premier League, Canadian Championship gets one. U.S. Open Cup gets one. Yeah, so I mean, the Caribbean Cup and Central American Cup, there's three and six, there's nine. Okay, yeah, so about 20-25%. I don't know why I decided to do that math, but I had a picture that I had the breakdown.
So this is from CONCACAF itself. Beginning with the 2024 edition, the CONCACAF Champions Cup will replace the Champions League as the premier men's continental tournament, which crowns the club champion of the region and provides qualification route to the new and expanded FIFA World Cup. The name CONCACAF Champions Cup, which is part of a full rebrand. Club World Cup. And modern
visual kind of cool if the Sounders were just in the actual World Cup, sorry.
Is inspired by the tournament's rich history, blah, blah, blah. Since 1962, when the first iteration of the tournament was formed, 30 different clubs have won this title. The original continental club competition in CONCACAF had the same name through its 61-year heritage from 1962 to 2008. So that's where, I mean, they're going back to that.
Sentimental, and at least there's a little more from a 30,000 foot perspective of the entire history of this tournament. It's better to have a more consistent name, change it now, so Champions League's a little blip, but there's
22 teams in it. 22 teams. They have three from the Caribbean Cup, six from the Central American Cup, three from the Leagues Cup, six from Liga MX, five from MLS, two from the Canadian.
I literally just said this. League,
one from the U.S. Open Cup and one from Canada's Cup.
I just said that.
Right, you said 25%, but you're missing something.
But no, I went down the quantities of all the
clubs. Oh, did you?
The
well,
teams. Yeah.
Here's the thing: is when you did
give
that
me though, credit.
What? Here's the thing: though. Leagues Cup, those could all be MLS teams if the final three or however they do it are MLS teams.
Okay.
So you could end up with far more MLS. I mean, in the U.S. Open Cup, so five, six, you could end up with nine of the 22 teams being from the MLS, in theory.
If we dominated the League's Cup and...
Right.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Yeah, so that would mean the chances of advancing are hopefully a lot better. But, so it starts at round one, then round of 16, quarterfinals, semifinals, final. Oh, so it's just like... it's actually the same as the TBL playoffs that are going on right now. And the Superhawks are now in the quarterfinals.
That actually, what did?
Oh, 27 total clubs. 22 play round one and five get a bye.
Okay, this is what I was looking for. LAFC also just lost. So more scuttlebutt. They lost yesterday? Today?
Yesterday, before.
Day before, and the second leg of the final.
Before the game? They put up a TIFO before the game, down, of course, on aggregate 2-1, that said, "Finish them."
Oh, no. The LAFC did that.
Yes, like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were A, losing, and B, did the opposite. They got finished. It's like they were telling Leon to finish their own team.
Yeah. Okay.
It's too funny. So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing is I didn't really care one way or another, but I was pretty happy when LAFC lost in the end. Like, I realized, especially once they changed the name.
Before I knew they were changing the name, I was totally, I don't want anyone else from the MLS doing this. Like, we did it. I want to keep doing it. If we... Every chance we have, I'm club over league. Like, I don't, I don't really care that much. However, I do want our league to do well. That's why you signed Messi. So we can keep winning Champions League or just be gifted Club World Cup entry for the next. Isn't 2026 we're in it? Club World Cup.
Yeah, it's Lyon, us, I think Monterey, and then whoever wins next, the new one next year.
And then there are some more Discord scuttlebutt questions, unless you don't want to move on. But these, I think, all relate to pretty much what we're going to talk about, which is Sounders for the second half of La Program.
Yeah, I mean, do I have any other thoughts on this? No, I mean,
we mentioned it was $5 million pot. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. So I'm, you know, if it brings back the history, you know, maybe we should talk about the corruption history of CONCACAF along with it. But yeah, it'll be an interesting. Oh, here's what I'll say: is here are the teams. I was right about Monterrey and Leon, but here are the teams that have qualified: Al Hilal, who that's the team that beat us, right?
Yep.
The Urawa Red Diamonds from Japan, Al Ahly. Oh wait, Al Ahly beat us. Al Hilal was on the other side of the bracket. Wydad Casablanca, because they won CAF. Wydad. Monterrey, Seattle, Lyon, Palmeiras, Flamengo, Chelsea, and Real Madrid.
Wydad is what my daughter says 500 Wydad. Times a day.
Wydad.
Just, you triggered me for a second. I was like,
Wydad. You should get her a Wydad jersey.
Wydad? She calls me dad. She's 3.5. I get daddy and dad-ass sometimes, but dad, like, weird coming from a 24-inch tall human.
24-year-old human.
Not so much. Anyway.
Yeah. Those are the teams. Exciting. Club World Cup. Woo! Let's talk Sounders.
All right. Let's talk Sounders. Chugga-chugga-choo-choo. I don't know why I said chugga chugga choo choo. Like, let's keep in my head, I'm like, let's keep this train going. Let's
keep this train going. Chugga
and
chugga
choo choo. And just so randomly, I said chugga chugga choo choo. All right. The Sounders are playing terribly. So let me recap just from a scoring perspective. Well, one, I'll recap. We just lost, or drew, feels like a loss because it was boring and we haven't been winning, I really wanted to win that game, obviously, right? But we haven't beaten Portland in nearly 3 years.
At least we didn't lose.
it really felt like if we could beat them, nay dominate them, that it would have like encapsulated or just bookended this bullshit 2 months we've had, or month and a half, you know. Yeah. And then we could just start fresh, kind of feeling like it all really started with Portland 4-1. And if it just could end with that and move forward, I feel like everyone's auras would be cleansed. You know what I'm saying? So
before you talk about the match, did you hear the quote that Giovanni Savarese said, the coach of Portland, before the match happened?
No, what?
This is paraphrasing because I can't find the actual quote. But he said, it's always good to play the Sounders because they seem to change our season into going in the right direction.
I mean, not wrong.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Touché. He's got the upper hand. He's beating our ass. A draw against Portland, especially when we just lost terribly to them, absolutely, especially at home, is a loss. And
yeah, I mean,
emotionally,
people in the stadium felt fine with it because the guys gave their all. This wasn't like the previous. I didn't feel that way, but this wasn't the previous 4 or 5 games where it felt like dudes were just like, whatever.
Okay.
Like everyone, like players, like gave everything they could to try and win that game, and it just didn't happen.
It certainly didn't. And yeah, I get they tried hard, but the game sucked. Sorry. Boring. The game was boring. The stats aren't fantastic. So if they were trying that hard and Portland was still just preventing us from playing our game, they didn't really need to try to attack to win the game. Right. They would have been happy with a counter, goal goes in, which very likely could have happened because that's what we have been doing. And that leads me to San Jose. I actually don't even remember if that was a counter when they scored, but they scored on us when they shouldn't have. And it was just another one of those just... Remember when... what was it? Kevin Bush? What was the San Jose keeper when Oba did the crazy ass...
Yeah.
Like 10-degree volley into the side net?
The reason I'm blanking on it was that was one of the few Sounders messages I missed early on, and it was because I woke up, and so I have the autoimmune disease that attacks my intestines, and I'd eaten popcorn at watching the movie Godzilla the night before at Cinerama, and I ate too much, and it blocked my intestines, and I was like retching over the toilet, and there was nothing there, and I had to go to the emergency room. So I was not at that match because I was at the emergency room. So John Bush is his name, I believe.
Was not expecting that. I'm sorry to trigger such a terrible memory, but thank you for letting me know his name was John Bush.
Yeah, I talked it through in my head.
I love that you ended with that too. You could have just, you know, not said that, and we could have kept moving.
Yeah, it took so long. This is how I teach too. You have to talk enough so that you can get what you were thinking about in your head, and then it works.
And then after 10 flushes, it finally went down. So the answer to the question was B. Professor. What? Anyway, okay, what I was saying was these goals we've been giving up to shit teams has left us with the John Bush face after eating too much popcorn at Godzilla.
Yeah.
And going home and retching.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty, actually, it's like we're going to the Sounders games, eating popcorn, having your affliction, and having to go retch in the toilet when we get home. That is what the Sounders are doing to us.
Yeah.
These are poor decisions from a tactical standpoint. And I'm not saying I know the answer. It's just clearly, systematically, something's off. So let me just go over our scoring prowess in the last since Portland, okay? And then I'll kind of peruse our Discord questions because they're all about the Sounders and Sounders players and what we should be doing. So they probably fall in line with our conversation. I'll try to catch you. If I don't, I'm sorry, Discord members, but thank you for sharing. We have scored one goal in the last four matches, seven in the last 10, and that's since April 8th.
Didn't we have seven in one game between?
Not in one game.
We had four in one game, but still.
Yeah, but I think we had three in the following or two prior. I think whatever. Yeah, but anyway, seven in the last 10. That's since April 8th. That's when we beat St. Louis 3-0. The next game was Portland. We're 3-5-2 in that stretch. Five losses. We do have three wins, but they're all, I think, 1-0. So, yes, we are. I think that says 3-5-2. I was surprised even at that. It feels like 1-2 wins, 6-7 losses, or, you know, three draws. That's what it feels like, right? It's hard to grasp back and say what was the third win. I remember Houston
at home, or I mean, we have eight wins.
When we went to Houston, we won. No, in the last 10 since Portland.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
like
dividing the season right now. The season stopped at Portland and restarted after Portland. So we were 3-5-2 in that stretch. It feels like it would be a worse record only because our defense, even though these goals have been sometimes ridiculous and on the defense. And I think I made an argument that it was on them, but it shouldn't have gotten to that point. I think I've made that because our midfield has been terrible.
Yeah.
But our defense has actually been playing pretty damn good from a holistic standpoint since Portland. To give us two draws and three fucking wins, right? That's 11 points that I can. We haven't scored more than two goals. Well, in the last four matches.
Yeah. Well, so, and in that stretch, we have two losses. Oh wait, no, that's Charlotte. We have, yeah, two losses, a win, and a draw.
Gross.
Charlotte has three losses and a win in that stretch.
But and Charlotte, and you said that. Charlotte's next, right? That's why you're talking about them.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was reading Discord here. So what are we missing at the moment? Because we haven't scored, says Raze Jose, since I was just talking about goals. Go transitions.
I think we're missing a competent midfield right now. And you saw the difference. It's crazy to say.
I agree with that.
Yeah. You saw the difference last game when Christian came on.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of our biggest problems, and they both have different strengths and weaknesses, but ultimately one of our biggest problems is that Rusnak and Nico essentially should be playing the same position. And so
we're trying to fit them on the field at the same time. We're trying to fit the two of them on the field.
Right.
And the lack of the ability of the other one in their position is causing some disjunct between how we move the fucking ball around and how we stop the ball.
And Nico,
I agree.
He started out with a good game against Portland and had some great passes. And I was like, wow, Nico's looking good. That didn't last the whole game. He looked terrible by the end of it. He was making terrible passes and mad decisions. Mm-hmm. It was, you could argue Freddie was dropping back that last game because he wasn't getting service, but you had Chu running up the left side and then having no one to cross it to because Freddie was playing center attacking mid and not forward. Mm-hmm. If you're playing striker, play fucking striker.
That or your wing needs to play as a second forward.
Instead of going all the way to, it needs to cut in.
But Leo Chu is the one that's best at delivering right now, and we don't have a right wing player. Like, we don't. I'm sorry that
Tevez. I like Tevez, but he's not it.
He's not it now. And Reed Baker Whiting is great, and he's fantastic. He's not there. He's not what we need right now.
And he was not great in that last game.
No. So
whereas Cody Baker, once again, I apologize for just calling you a dude, Cody Baker. You're not just some dude. You should be starting every game if you keep performing.
So I'm a Laker fan, and Austin Reeves, if anyone watches the NBA, is very similar to Cody Baker. He's getting it. He's better than you. You can't believe that the player you're watching is actually as good as he is. And I'm not saying this guy's a world beater, but I'm very impressed with Cody Baker thus far.
Right, and he gives him collapse at the end of the game.
He gets his ass beat.
Yeah.
He's been getting some tough
But he also
fouls.
sticks it to the other players, too. Like, he's not afraid.
Yeah, I wish he stood up a little bit more against that little remember the corner flag area?
Yeah.
Where the dude, like, shoves him on his way up kind of thing, like stepping over him. I forget exactly what happened, but he was clearly asserting his dominance over Cody Baker, the kid. And Cody does stand up for a second, but he does look away when the guy stares him down. And then he looks back. And you stop moving and you watch them walk and make them look funny.
Yeah.
That's what I'm teaching my daughter. but anyway, yeah, Cody Baker's been great. I think I agree with you in the midfield issue.
I think we have a forward issue right now too, but I don't know if that's going to last because
Diaz
did look okay.
So here's my thing with Ladero. One of the best midfielders in the league statistically for the first, basically since till Portland, and it's kind of been fading off. I don't know the numbers in my head, but I know that he was fantastic. He had a lot of rest. We had most of our players available from Christian, right, playing that entire time we were wreaking havoc. And he was doing his old Nico self, running all over the field. That catches up with him because he is his age. Like, you can't just ignore that. And I think that's what we're seeing, because if he was playing that at Cam 10 and also running all over the place, he's absolutely more effective than chasing everything from that position, because then you're not supporting the rest of the midfield. And I don't think he can do that for a full 90 anymore. And I think
But they don't sub him off. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he should be a starter anymore.
I agree. I think he should be, think of him as a that. I think is how good he would be.
That I think is a systematic switch because things are just not good. Yeah, I don't think a new player is something we are going to do. At least from a Nico Rui Diaz kind of splash, Oba splash. Nothing like that's gonna happen unless you know something, because I certainly don't.
No.
But that doesn't feel like the vibe, and it's never, we're not in that position right now financially to be able to do that, and this is a drastic change. So something,
they gotta move Arriaga, man. They gotta. I just don't.
Yeah,
get
but
it.
That's not a make or break for.
That's a lot of money, though. That frees up a ton. They need.
Does he make a mil?
No. Of course not.
What I'm talking about is players that we've signed that make a couple million dollars.
Right, but most of them are tan.
We're not going to do that.
Right, but we don't need to worry about them because they don't count against the cap space.
Well, I am just saying that we have the players to be a good team.
Do we?
Yeah, we have. I think so. When everyone's available, we absolutely do. And that you can't build a roster off injuries.
I mean, we're going to find out Saturday. It sounds like wow.
What are you reading?
He's making $700,000, Arriaga.
I mean, I don't like that.
that's enough to sign a TAM player. You can sign a player and pay down.
From a goose. I miss you. I miss you, Goose.
Yeah, I mean, that's enough to sign a player that would make a huge difference for a backup who has only played in emergency situations. So Jordan Morris, who was expected to be up 3 to 4 weeks, may be back. And so the only person we're missing is Soto? How do you pronounce his name? The really young kid that we signed up from.
He's a local kid.
Yeah, Sota Kitahara. Yeah. So he's the only person that's for sure out, and Jordan's questionable. So in theory, on Saturday at Charlotte, we could have our full roster.
Well, then there's no excuses. That's a lot of pressure on Brian. All right, stick to what we believe to know is the right formation for these players, the right 11 for these players, and play a team that is okay, right? They're not as good as us in the records.
No, they're ninth in the East. Yeah.
6-8-3.
Arguably, we're 8-6-3. The East, except for the top couple teams, is always much worse than the West. I don't know why they don't seem to realize that, but like the COVID year, if we got to play the same four teams in the East, like Philadelphia and Toronto did, we would have been Supporters Shield champions too. Like, it's not even right.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move forward a little bit. San Jose, barf, gross. We lost at home. Terrible. Glad I wasn't there. Portland, almost grosser. So that's our recent form. How do we get out of this? Should we play Raul a full 90? Asked Rosé Jose.
If he's ready, I think you gotta. I mean, clearly, I'm not as down on Hebert as everyone else because his expected goals is significantly higher than his goals. And so he's getting in the right positions and it's just not happening
Striking
whatever out. Reason Freddie's aren't that high, so mm-hmm. I actually and Freddie's proven that he can't play a full 90.
He's out of the question, but he does,
but
have
they, we keep starting him anyways, which I just don't get. And maybe that was to give Hebert a break because they knew he was going to be starting at San Jose. I don't know,
or to come back and hit it full 90 after a 4-week hamstring injury.
Yeah, I mean.
So, I mean, that's probably part of it. There's probably some sports science in there, but also the XGs are also frustrating. Mm-hmm. In this situation right now, when we need those goals, it'd be one thing if someone else was scoring and you had this issue. But, like the Mariners, if Teoscar Hernandez is leading the league in strikeouts, we need both Julio and Kelenic to fucking launch some bombs.
I mean, the two other guys that are also in the top five in strikeouts in the league.
I know.
The top five in strikeouts.
I know.
I don't know how they haven't fired the hitting coach yet. But anyway, that's not Sounders talk.
So Raul should play full 90, yes.
I don't know if he'll play a full 90. I think he starts.
Should he? Not will he?
No, I don't think so. I would like us to sub him out in the 60th, 70th minute. Okay. I don't think he's not ready for full 90. We don't want to aggravate the injury. If he can, yeah, that'd be great. But hopefully we're up 3-0 and we don't even need to.
Okay. Patrick GC. If Rui isn't starting, you start Chu with Morris at the 9?
You'd think so, but we're not doing that for some reason. Although Christian's back, so maybe that opens that up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what I do.
You start that and sub on Rui?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Because based on the game, because he's not, I'm guessing he's not full 90 ready.
Yeah.
Based on the game, you could either do two forwards or you could just do a straight swap, depending on what the score is.
I feel like we're a game away from Rui Diaz being pissed off if he doesn't start. Like, we can go this game, but with a full week off?
Yeah.
Like,
no, yeah.
You know, I think he will be a little peeved if he doesn't start, even though you might be right. I mean, dude, you're getting injured, like, farting at practice, so can forgive us for being a little trepidatious about starting you. He costs $2 million, right? Is he $2 million? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
More than that.
There's a couple commas, and that's all that matters. Patrick GC also has a better question, but what?
We forgot something earlier. The Sounders, we were hoping
that Lewis Hamilton finished second.
Yes.
We were talking about more or Russell, but.
No, Luis Suarez is also going to enter Miami. Is being
Are you fucking finally. Kidding me?
And so this is
Are
a
you?
Guy. It's been a target for us for a long time. He's really close friends with Nico, but he's going to enter Miami.
What?
And they're trying to get Sergio Buckets too, or however you say. I don't.
Busquets.
Buckets.
They're getting a 2016 Barcelona is what they're getting.
Yeah. But so I forgot that earlier. But that's Sounders news because so many Sounders fans for years have been on Suarez watch.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but not really. But yes. But there's legitimate reasons to see it happening, but there was never a legitimate.
Because he's out of contract after this season.
Rumor.
And,
yeah.
And so anyway, we were hoping that
it would. So DeAndre, isn't he a DB?
A DP?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, you said DB, so I was very confused. Like, I don't think he plays football.
No, he's not. Okay, well then.
He might be a TAM player. I don't know. I doubt he's a DP because they have so many players on their team. But maybe he is because basically you can sign a DP and then pay them down to a TAM level with TAM. I believe that's the one. Tam Gam.
What if we get? What if we can somehow get DeAndre?
That would be nice.
It's a lot of money over there. Clearly, though, they're not paying for any of it. Apple TV is happy to just bring all the players in. But
so their DPs are Pizarro, Campana. Do they only have 2 DPs? They might be only allowed 2 DPs right now because they had 5 1 year and they cooked the books and got in big trouble. And then they have a whole bunch
and
of
then they've totally redeemed themselves.
Yeah. I mean, they've got Joseph Martinez.
They cooked the books prior to this? What is this? They're scorching the books?
This is... I mean, they cheated.
What the fuck is Miami right now? This is Miami.
They had more DPs than they were allowed. So currently, DeAndre Redland's contract runs through the 2025 season with a club option to extend the 2026.
But they could trade him, right?
Yeah, they could. And it looks like he signed a 5-year, $7.8 million deal.
No thanks.
looks like an average salary of 1.5 million. So they must have used TAM money, or they must have used, it's GAM and it's not TAM. TAM is the name of the position.
No,
Unless
there's TAM and GAM.
Yeah, okay. I'm just
targeted allocation money and general allocation
night.
Money, and
Yeah,
that's
so
all
it's
I know.
TAM. They use TAM money to pay him down from DP status. TAM level players are those next ones on the roster that are close to DP, but usually not quite. And you can use that money to pay them down to that level, or you can just sign a player at that level.
And general is the other money.
Yeah, so DeAndre could come. I just don't know. We'd obviously need to account for his contract in some way.
That and, yeah, once you said that, I was like, I was just a pipe dream.
Right. No,
there's a lot going on. He is kind of a look at me player.
Yeah, spending that much money on a defender when we are not
exactly. I agree.
A defense. I mean, we have a great defensive group, but we're not a defensive oriented team.
Mm-hmm. And Alex plays clearly better with his brother.
Yeah.
And that is unfortunate for Alex because Christian doesn't need him, right? But that, I would like
I don't
someone
know if that
to look at
is
like
his fault. Alex's fault, though. I think it's that he's just been playing with his brother so long because Christian's always there with the Sounders. That if he had time and a consistent player at right mid, because we kept changing it, if he had a consistent
player
at right
mid,
they could be better.
That's fair, but there's clearly a force magnifier.
Right. I mean,
multiplier, force multiplier.
Yeah, you've played with him
with your brother, your blood brother that you've played with your entire life.
Yeah. Of course.
Because especially him, he's a younger one. That's why Christian doesn't need him.
That's right.
Which actually.
You suck. Younger siblings, the older ones are always the best.
This bridges something I was going to say until you wanted to finish your thought, and I'm glad we did because better question from Patrick GC. What I was going to say, should Alex be starting or should it be Baker or RB Dubs at RB? Okay, that's confusing to read, Patrick.
Yeah.
Read Baker Whiting at right back.
No, I think Alex clearly, you know, he had a few bad games, but overall I would choose Alex and Cody to be our two right back and left back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bringing Nuhu on as a super sub as well.
Nuhu? Why wouldn't he be starting?
I want Cody Baker starting over him.
Did you just say that and I didn't listen because I was reading Discord?
Mm-hmm.
Love you. You're wearing pants, right? Because you still don't have a shirt. You weren't.
I am.
You were naked last
pants.
Episode.
I'm not naked this episode because we won. I mean, yeah, we won. We won a game.
Cameron, so sit down. Sit down.
Oh. I can't. We won, so I can't go naked anymore. We have to go on another terrible run, and so I hope that I never have to go naked again.
We got to stop having you saying that you're naked. Or that you
I'm
might
not.
Be naked.
No,
or that
I'm
you might wearing, be naked. Let's just get
wearing,
out of the naked Cameron talk.
I'm wearing Forest Green Rovers shorts.
What do you drive a Subaru? Got four-wheel drive. You go to Chuckanut? Yes, I do, actually. And it's an Impreza. Subaru, thank you very much. Yeah. Okay. That's about... I think we've pretty much covered our Discord scuttlebutt that related to the Sounders and the Sounders portion
have,
of the show.
Yeah,
should we talk about the CLT?
Let's talk about the clip before we get there. I have
Watch
one more
language.
Question for you. One more question for you.
Okay. I'm going to smoke to provide the best answer.
Do you think it is time not to do it, but to start thinking about Steph Cleveland's future with the club and whether he needs to start playing a little more often so that he can transition into the starter, say, next season?
To be 100% honest with you, I don't care. And I should. Because I actually think we probably... Steph Fry's been great. He's had his moments, but... Dude.
Maybe I'm biased. I mean, recency bias, but his distribution in the last game almost cost us multiple times. Like, it was back to like early Sounders Steph Fry when he was just making gaff after gaff and costing.
Okay, fair. However, I don't see distribution as like some cognitive issue or degenerative you're getting older issue. I think that is a hustle, make a quick decision. We fucking suck right now. Let me try to give my part now that the ball is in my hands, literally. That's what I think is most of the issue. Stephen Fry, from a reaction standpoint, positioning standpoint, and direction standpoint, has provided 8 shutouts this year. Is that right?
I think that's right. He just had his 100th ever shutout for the Sounders.
I mean, that is like me saying Messi had 16 goals, 16 assists at 35 years old. Steph Curry's like 37, and he might have the most shutouts in the league. And that isn't just him, but there have been some spectacular saves in each and every single one of those shutouts.
Yeah, and
so
and
I think he'll be
only given up 14 goals in 17 games.
There you go. Still, and the way that everything's been. So I think he'll be our keeper next year. I think he'll be good enough next year, which means Stephen Cleveland
probably won't be. What did they tell him? Like, why did he choose to resign? That's very interesting.
That is true. That is true. But you also need to hedge your bets from a managerial standpoint, too. I mean,
oh, for sure.
John Schneider does that.
For the Sounders to sign him is a no-brainer, but he probably could have gone and started somewhere else.
But I'm just saying that general managers that hedge their bets well clearly have a skill.
Yeah, that's true.
So
let's talk about Charlotte.
Okay, let's talk about Lottie. Charlotte is a character in one of the princess stories I read, I think, for my daughter. Her name was Charlotte. So I'm going to call this team Lottie.
Did she have a web?
No, it's not Charlotte's web. It was Tiana, the frog and the princess.
Oh, that's a movie that I've
seen. She has a friend named Charlotte. They call Lottie.
I've seen the first hour of it 4 times because I was subbing a high school class and they told me to just put on that movie, but it wasn't long enough to watch the whole movie. So I've just seen the first hour 4 times. And I've seen it once, the first hour once, in French as well.
Oh, well, that'd be pretty cool. Actually, I should do that.
Just like Bionic Man. I've never seen the whole thing. I've only seen the first hour.
Yeah.
Starring Robin Williams. Let's talk about Charlotte. Now, this is our first trip. This is our first trip ever.
Good job.
To Charlotte.
Is it really?
Yeah, they came here last year.
Where did you go last year? Nashville. Oh, okay.
So this is our first time there, which is fascinating. They play in a place where Seattle teams tend to succeed, but barely. The Seahawks, for some reason, go there like 3 out of every 4 years, and then we'll have 1 year off, and then we'll have a home game, and then we'll have another 3 straight years. Like, I think Seahawks are going
to. It feels that way, but literally that does not happen, but yes.
No, it does. The Seahawks, yes. There was a time period where the Seahawks played there 3 times in 5 years and played them here 1 time.
Playoffs must have been involved because that's not how the conference scheduling works, but we can talk about this another time. There's no way that's possible. Look it up, but let's not talk about it while we're recording for these poor people.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that the Seahawks tend to win there, but at the very end. So I think this could be an interesting matchup, especially because both the teams are not great right now. The Sounders, as we talked about in their last, we said 4, but let's say 5, went loss, loss, win, loss, draw. Whereas Charlotte went win, loss, loss. So they're coming off 2 straight losses, but have 2 wins in the last 5 games where we only have 1. They picked up 6 points out of that. We picked up 4. That's the most painful thing about that road trip is the points. We lost 5 points at home. Anyway. I don't know much about Charlotte. I know they had the defender that passed away before the season, which was a super bummer. Uh-huh. They had a defender. I think we talked about it on the show. They had a defender who died in like a boating accident or something. That was a young player that had previously played for Atlanta. So, if I'm not mistaken, but
it's a second death that's been reported months later to me via you on this podcast. Grant Wall, what?
That was the big. I mean, that one.
I can't believe I did not know that. Like, yeah, life's tough in Everett, man. I'm telling you, Casino Road. A few of you laughed.
Yeah, yeah. What? Okay, the Seahawks played 12, 13, and 14 3 years in a row at that place, Charlotte, in the same stadium.
May I have your attention, please? For security reasons, we ask that passengers not leave any backpacks, luggage, packages, or other personal belongings.
Well, that shit just cut out on us. So yeah. What the hell were you just talking about?
I was saying that similar to what the Seahawks went through, where it would take a late bumble or error from one of the Panthers players. I think this is going to be the same thing that happens in this, where it's going to be another 0-0 game, and it's going to be a late goal by whichever team stays strong. And I think based on having all our players back, it's going to be the Sounders. So I'm thinking we're going to have a 1-0 win. Is what I'm thinking.
Well, that will 1-0 win would be disappointing to me if we have our best players available, and we're going against a team that I'd like to say that they're not playing well, so we should beat.
Yeah, but that's, but we aren't clearly playing well too. So
we don't play well against the teams we should beat.
That like, I mean, that's so true.
That is what has been going on. So we've lost that game argument after game. Is moot.
Yeah, we and keep saving careers.
So the last vestige of what Brian Schmetzer thinks this team can be is this opportunity right here. Everyone is available. You can stick to your guns. But if we fucking fail, then your system is jacked and something's got to be fixed. Like, yeah. I mean, you have to say we're completely shifting, and that is Nico not starting. That's what I think this game means. And I don't know if we'll win or lose, but if we win, it better be by more than two goals, or at least more than one goal, because we haven't yet to have a multiple goal game in 2 months. What did I say? April 8th, right? Is that true? Is that what I said? Yes, that's what
Something
I said.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, regardless, it's definitely been a while, but I can't remember an hour ago. So I think that needs to happen, and then we can start feeling better. Otherwise, if this is our best available and we can't win soundly, or we can't win against this team, regardless if we're on the road, then we got a real problem. So there's a lot on this game, and I have no idea which way it's going to go.
I don't know how they determine it, but the Google win probability is 39% for Charlotte, 33% for Seattle, and a 28% draw. So the odds to them are on Charlotte winning the game.
Well,
so let me ask you something.
That sounds like a home tip. Like, you know, because they're home.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And you know what? The way we've been playing, I do think the match is probably even, and that might be it, the fact that they're at home.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't win at home. So, yeah, that's anyway.
True. That is
score two true. Goals and win the game, and I'm fine.
Yeah,
that's April 8th, what I'm saying. We scored three. We're fine. If you draw, lose, even win by one, nothing. Ugh, I'm not feeling confident.
If we drop this game, I know I've talked about Schmetzer and being frustrated with him, but if we drop this game and he doesn't make major changes, do you think he's on the hot seat? Here's the thing is all the teams around us keep losing. And I think, what are we? Are we in? We might be in fifth now on points per game. That's something that we'll have to look up here, but we're still look good because we're still at the top of the table.
Well,
right?
When everyone's allowed in the playoffs, yes. I'm not actually concerned about us making the playoffs.
Really? Even though we didn't make it last year?
Well, at literally over 50% of your conference makes the playoff. So as long as we're not that shitty, I mean, our defense has been giving us. Okay. I don't think we're going to play like this for the rest of the year. Something's going to change and we're going to be all right.
Okay. Yeah, because right now,
but I'm frustrated that it's not happening yet. It's like the Mariners. I still feel like this is a really good team, but you're executing everything terribly. Mm-hmm. Just find the or Mercedes in F1. Can you change your side pods? That's clearly the issue. Oh my God, you're fast now. Like,
yeah.
I think there is, and I'm not sure what it is for the Sounders, but it might be a Nico on the bench. It might be a Nico on the bench. But let's see what happens in Charlotte, and it could be everything fine for now.
Yeah.
If we
well, after Dallas, after Dallas beat St. Louis tonight 2-0, this had large effect on the standings because Dallas is right behind us with the same. They're 1 point behind us with the same amount of games played. It also helped. I mean, I think it helps us in some ways because now St. Louis is only 1 point ahead of us. but they've played less games, right? They've played two less games. So we are currently third. We're second in the standings, but we're third in the table in points per game, 1.59. Dallas, by losing, it helps us. By winning, it hurts us to 1.53, but it keeps us closer to the 1.87 from St. Louis. So,
so the teams weird that we're okay.
Like, yeah, right?
It is so, weird because everything's so glum.
San Jose, Vancouver, and Minnesota all have a game in hand. They are right behind us, 1.44, 1.31, 1.25. The big thing is going to be we got to win in Vancouver now. We got to win at Charlotte. We got to win in Vancouver. We got to beat those teams that are right behind us in the standings.
We're not going to Vancouver.
Yeah, don't we go there July 8th, like a month from now?
Oh, July 8th. Okay, I thought in like the next couple of games.
Oh, no, no.
What?
No. Okay. But I'm saying when we play those teams, we can't drop more points.
Yeah, right? No, like, totally. The not good teams need to be beaten
right
now. Starting now, and then it starts with Charlotte.
Yeah, we go to
mediocre
Charlotte.
Mediocre to bad teams need to be beaten.
Then we go to LAFC, then we are home for Ooh, that'll Orlando.
Be fun. LAFC will be fun.
Yeah.
We'll get into it in the next episode because we'll have a week, right? It's not a Wednesday game, is it?
LAFC? It is on 6/21. So it is.
Yeah, we're fine.
We have 11 days between. Is that an international break or something? I wonder why we have 11 days. And then we get to July where we have four matches, and then suddenly there's a huge break for Leagues Cup. Mark your calendars, July 30th. Monterey is playing here in Seattle.
Yeah, that's weird. August 20th. Full.
Yep. When Atlanta comes to town, it's the return of Garth Lagerwey. I hope. I'm going to email him and see if he's coming.
And see if he's inviting us to his suite.
Yeah,
works. And if not him, maybe we should pull them to port and join James in his suite. What do you think about that? Is this a good transition to the end of this damn podcast? It's been going on for an hour and a half.
Where can they find you?
On Twitter, Aaron Lingley, AaronLangley. And what about you, Cameron Collins?
At Legal Minded Punk on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also check me out Monday nights on KXSU LP Seattle 102.1 FM and around the world at KXSU.org, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time.
So you will be paying for the July hosting fee as well. Thank you very much, Cameron. James, take us away.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFC Scuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.